23rd. Note that there is a quorum present. Who wants to approve the minutes? Representative Newton, are you?
Yes, I'd like to move the minutes of March 21st, 2023.
Representative Newton has moved the minutes, approval of the minutes for March 21st. Any discussion to them? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The minutes are approved. Chair Cleburne, when you're set.
Good morning, Chair Hewitt and members of the committee. I would like to move House File 1826 to be before the back for consideration. And I'd like to refer it to the General Register, please.
We have 1826 back in our committee for consideration. Chair Cleburne, I see you have, you're moving it to the General Register, and I see that you do have a DE.
I do have a DE. What I'd like to do is just speak very quickly about the DE and then move to the A1 to the DE after. So, members, what I'd like you to know is that the DE contains many bills that we have already discussed in committee, and we will have a more thorough walkthrough in a minute. But every bill that is in the DE has been heard by our committee with a couple of exceptions. There is some modified language in Article 2 with the consent and approval of the minority lead. We modified that language having to do with cybersecurity, and it was contained in Representative Bonner's Bill 1710. So Article 2, the information technology and cybersecurity portion of the bill, is modified language. The other piece that we have done in this bill is Representative Cagle's bill, which had been moved to the consent calendar, is incorporated in this bill, as is Representative Jamie Becker-Finn's hotel bill. So those items were sent to the consent agenda, but they are also included in this bill. So we'll go through the bill in its entirety after we do the amendment for the A1.
Thank you, Chair Cleburne. Are there any discussions to the DE? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The DE is adopted. To the A1, Chair Cleburne.
Okay. The A1 is a little bit more interesting, I think, to the committee today. There were bills that I wanted to add, but they were not quite ready for us at the time of a regular committee. So the first part of the DE1 is about our session and when we shall meet, and that will be the first Tuesday after the first after the second Monday in January in each odd year, so that people know when we will be called. We changed the definition of the legislative day. And then in lines 118 through 527, I'm sorry, I apologize, through 6-5, those lines have to do with the negotiated contracts for some of our collective bargaining units, and we can discuss that more fully. And then from lines 6.1 to the end, really those are cleanup language for items that are already contained in the DE. And that is the A1, and I would be happy to discuss that further with the committee.
Any discussions? I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the author. Lines 1.11 through 1.7, the redefinition of a legislative day was never heard in committee. It was introduced earlier this week as a bill. We have not had any opportunity to discuss it fully, and I would ask the author to amend it or remove it orally from her amendment, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it. You and I haven't even talked about it. You introduced it, and we We have seen each other on the floor and in committee, and it was not discussed at all.
Chair Cleburne.
Thank you, Lead Nash. I appreciate that conversation, and that's why we're here today, and I'm happy to talk about it fully today. It was posted in time, and you have had opportunity to review it. It will stay in the bill.
Lead Nash.
Well, I would encourage my members to vote against the A1. It drastically changes how the legislature would do things. It does effectively create more time for the majority party to do what it is that they feel like they need to do without actually having legislative days count against them. It's a significant change. It is not just a trifle change, Madam Chair. It is not something that you just sort of say, well, we should probably change that, and it'll be just fine. So I would strongly urge a vote against this. It is not trivial, and I find that it is offensive that you didn't even approach me about it. So to that end, I would urge a no vote on the A1 and would request a roll call on that.
There's been a roll call requested. Representative Udall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cleburne, can you just talk about that a little bit more, just the change in the legislative day, just so I have a better understanding of why we're doing it? I'm sorry, I just don't know.
Oh, Matt, working my assistant 6 here. To Chair Cleburne.
Thank you, Chair Hewitt, and thank you, Representative Nadeau, for the question. I will go more fully into it. No current legislator appreciates the harm that is done by the practice of the legislative day. It was a deal that was struck in 1973. The 120-day limit in the Constitution, that was the agreement. But there is also a sentence that authorizes the legislature to define the legislative day. With the current structure as it is, it forces us to meet only on Mondays and Thursdays, and this has been the schedule since 1973. These delays to the question that Lead Nash posed, delays and slows the process of doing the people's work. It interferes. It interferes with the public's ability to keep up and to follow the work of the legislature. The sentence in the Constitution is without qualification. The purpose of the sentence is to clearly avoid legislative frustration and to propose a definition that includes all meaningful legislative work. What this change will do is to free this and future legislatures, which may be controlled by another party, from the scheduling constraints that the present definition imposes, allowing this and future legislatures to adopt whatever schedule they desire. The new definition would impose no change on the legislature or the legislative leaders. And I ask for adoption.
Representative Nadeau, follow up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Cleburne. So I'm clear, is that in 1.16 to 1.19, is that saying in the second year of the biennium that we are going to meet after the first Monday in January, where historically we haven't met until February? Am I reading that right?
It says odd number of years.
I'm sorry. It's still just odd number of years. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll point out a very odd statement that the chair just made, that we want to be able to let the legislature move quickly. Well, by all accounts, even in Ways and Means yesterday, we were hearing how wonderful it was that we had budget targets this early. Bills began moving off the floor almost within a matter of weeks. So I'm not exactly sure, Madam Chair, where the slowness that you're referring to is coming from. You have moved along with your party at a breakneck speed from day one, so I'm not exactly sure what the urgency is. Beyond that, the fact that this was not a bill that was discussed in committee, I thought better of that. I thought that that would not be something that would be done. So I'm really taken aback, and I'm really kind of offended that this is dropped into the bill in this manner.
Chair Cleburne, would you like to close up?
Thank you very much. And if you look at the legislature and our role is not whether legislators are offended or not. And the reason it's in an A1 is so that it's very clear that it is something that I am adding that is different from the DE. I didn't put it in the DE for a reason. Transparency is something that my side of the table honors and respects. And this has been posted. It was posted on time. Communication is always a two-way street. I can come to you, you can come to me, we can always have that conversation and dialogue. And where possible, I have honored letting you know in advance whatever I can. Members, this is a really good amendment, and I ask for your adoption. Please vote yes on the A1.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, and Madam Chair. You know, since we're having the discussion here, I wanted to take the opportunity in committee to thank you for this. I think it is the type of reform that we need. The world is very different from the 1970s. And I'll just use one example. As long as I've been here, I've wondered, why do we meet on President's Day when everybody else is off? And so if we're trying to reach a state agency, they're not working on President's Day. And it, by the way I read the bill, that would be one example of we could adjust and have the legislative day on that Tuesday rather than on President's Day. Is that, Madam Chair, is that correct?
That is.
Representative Cleburne.
Mr. Gehring, if you would like to address this question.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, the amendment as proposed here doesn't specify particular days of the week for meeting, but it does, as you say, it provides additional flexibility during the session time to meet as the legislature desires.
We have one more member wanting to comment, and we'd like to get to the roll call because our agenda is definitely passing. So, Representative Joy.
I'll be quick. I guess the thing I see referenced in Representative Nash is when we change this and we try to speed things up, we've seen a lot through this committee that had dot, 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 no fiscal responsibility. And I'm afraid in the revisor's office and everybody's working so hard to get this stuff done and we're saying it's coming but they're backed up. If we change this, are we just gonna move it faster and they're not gonna be able to keep up? That's my concern on this.
Thank you, Representative Joy. And Madam Chair, I'd like to get to the roll call.
Please move to the roll
call. Mr. Westerman, if you could take the roll.
Chair Cleburne?
Aye.
Chair Cleburne? Aye. Vice Chair Hewitt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hewitt? Aye. Representative Nash?
No.
Representative Nash? No. Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Bonner? Aye. Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Berg? Aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg? Aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Hansen? Aye. Representative Harder?
No.
Representative Harder? No. Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Herr? Aye. Representative Joy?
No.
Representative Joy? No. Representative Kosnick?
No.
Representative Kosnick? No. Representative Nadeau?
No.
Representative Nadeau? No. Representative Newton?
Aye.
Representative Newton? Aye. The ayes are 8, the nays are 5.
And if the ayes are 8 and the nays are 5, the amendment does prevail. And now, Madam Chair, your bill is in the shape that you want it in. We do have other amendments. Do you want to take those now?
Yes, please.
The A2, I believe it's Representative Netto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Cleburne. Mm-hmm. This, and I know that you might have mentioned this a little bit in your opening remarks. This is a bill that we didn't hear. This is Representative Knorr's mm-hmm. bill. I'm eliminating section 16 of the bill. It's requiring cities to report buildings that do not have sprinkler systems. I don't remember hearing that bill, and so what I'm doing is literally pulling it out of this bill right now. Mm-hmm. I know that in my city, as conditional use permits change, and I know that this has to do with the city of Minneapolis, and I don't specifically know the intent of what this was trying to accomplish, but I do know that in my city, when cities change, when they adopt latest fire marshal codes, when they make changes to the fire suppression systems, it's massively expensive. And so I don't know anything about this and what the impact this will have on buildings in Minneapolis that my employer owns, that other people own. And so, and because we haven't heard it, I'd like to remove it. Maybe it can be added later. I just don't know the impact of this bill, which is why I'd like it removed. So I move Amendment A2, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nadeau. To the A2 amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Representative Nadeau, for the question. If I have erred by including it and it hasn't been heard in the committee, I'm going to apologize to the committee for that moment, at this moment, for that. I was thinking that we heard it and I put it on the list. So that would be my error. So let me give you a little bit of back history as to where this bill came from. This is an related to Representative Knorr. And Representative Knorr had a building, which I could ask Chair Hewitt to go into great detail about the devastating fire that occurred in a multi-story building, a very high building, where there were no sprinkler systems in the building because of its age. It was grandfathered. It didn't have, at the time it was constructed, it didn't have fire systems in place. As a result of that devastating fire, there was legislation in the last session which required buildings to be retrofitted with sprinkler systems, and the statute is in place for that. This provision in this bill would allow the fire marshal to know which buildings are and are not retrofitted. This is really an important piece to keep in the bill, and it only pertains to cities of the first and second class. So this is about really human safety at its fundamental core, and it's about protecting our firefighters. I see this as a very, very important provision, and at this moment I am not prepared to remove it because of that human safety, both the citizenry and the firefighters who go into battle these really horrific fires. So I will apologize to the committee. The error was mine. I thought we had heard this, so I put it on the list to be included. But it is an important provision that I would ask members to vote no on this amendment.
Madam Chair, I'm going to take some privilege here, and you're exactly right. Fire sprinklers not only save victims' lives, but they also save firefighters' lives. In that particular building you're referring to, I'm sorry, in that building you're referring to, I believe several firefighters were treated at the hospital after the incident. We did hear this in public safety, which I'm a member of, and the cities did not oppose. This is just simply a report that we need to know where these buildings are, and it's in the cities, it's in the higher class cities, and we didn't hear any opposition to this. It's an important report. So Representative Doe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. And I wasn't trying to make this a gotcha thing at all. I hadn't heard it. Hearing that explanation, identifying those buildings, I'm pretty positive that those cities know what those buildings are. I don't think it's going to be a ton of work to, you know, to do it. So I'll withdraw the A2. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The A2 has been withdrawn. We have an A3, I believe, Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair, the A3 amendment, and committee members, the A3 amendment adds some language that helps protect Minnesota industries from being divested from. I think it's important from an economic development standpoint on the committee that I, and I'm looking around, I don't know if any other members here serve on that committee, but we have some strong economic industries in our state that lead the world in agriculture and mining, medical industry, and a variety of other industries, and this makes sure that our state assets that are invested from the State Board of Investing do not disinvest in Minnesota industries. A couple recent articles that looked at that I would like to just kind of quote here. One from the New York Times, September 29, 2022, ESG investing is designed almost entirely to maximize shareholder returns, falsely leading many investors to believe that their portfolios are doing good for the world. So when people utilize ESG investing in our state board of investing, they might think that they're doing some social justice world improvement, but that's not really how it works. And so I would move the A3 amendment so that we, until ESG investing is even more thoroughly vetted, we can make sure that we are, our pension funds and such are maximizing the returns for their stakeholders, our retirees and stakeholders across the state, and not hurting any particular industries that would cripple their ability to get capital for some very vital Minnesota industries. And so, Madam Chair, I hope that you would consider the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Madam Chair.
Thank you. When we use terms in the committee, I ask for the person who's used the term to please define it. If I could just ask Representative Koznick to let the public know what he means by ESG. Thank you.
Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Generally, ESG is environmental, social, and governance standards. That is a term used, kind of a Wall Street type term. And there's rating agencies that have different funds and looks at companies' liabilities and risks relative to the three things. And so it's out there, but I think it would be harmful to specifically divest from Minnesota mining, agriculture, healthcare, and any other particular sectors in the state as the amendment reads.
Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Hewitt, and Representative Koznick for bringing up this issue. I would just like to inform this group that ESG is actually quite politicized. And this is actually, we have seen states that have actually taken action on ESG to they've actually seen a blowback from that, and that at what we've seen with the volatility of the markets that there has actually been great benefits to having ESG investments. And so I would say that because this is actually quite a complex issue, that I would suggest that this committee vote no on this issue. The time in our state actually does a great job in their performance. We are actually a state that has one of the best performances, and our head of our pensions investments, Jill Schertz, and her team does an amazing job, and we have greater returns than most states. And so at this time, I would ask that we vote no on this particular amendment.
Chair Cleburne.
Thank you, and I would just like, I'm glad to know that Representative Koznick and I both read the New York Times. That makes me very happy. And I would like the committee to know that that was also an opinion piece. It wasn't a deep researched story. The other thing I want the committee to know is that when Texas was forced to do this, it cost them between $300 and $500 million. So this amendment could be very costly. The other piece I would like to say is I'm also very glad that you, Representative Koznick, and I agree. Agriculture, mining, healthcare are really important industries in our state, and we will both work together to keep them strong. But on this particular amendment, I ask for a no vote.
Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would request a roll call. And the previous quote that I had mentioned is from a clinical associate professor at New York University, Stern School of Business, and a former entrepreneur. I think his opinion is quite valid, but maybe you would prefer business insurance, February 1st, 2022. Part of the challenge in managing ESG risk is limited data. Intrinsically, we believe that a company with a good ESG risk management will be a better liability risk, that a company that is trusted will have fewer or less severe liability losses, but we can't prove that correlation yet. And that's the point. The other thing is, you know, perhaps it has gotten political, but even the U.S. Congress had bipartisan support for measures like this. And so maybe it's not as political as we think. It's just a feel-good type of investing strategy. But it shouldn't be political to protect key industries in the state of Minnesota, like mining, agriculture, livestock, and energy-based companies. So I would request a committee support and roll call.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. If you would, can I move to the roll call?
Please go to the roll call.
Mr. Westman, please do the roll call.
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Nash.
No. Or yes. Sorry.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
Nope.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr. Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy.
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, the nays are 8.
With the ayes being 5 and the 8s being 8, the amendment does not prevail. Amendment 4, Representative Lee Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move adoption of the A4. And regardless of how you feel about some of the changes that have happened in the state of Minnesota relative to abortion, I would hope that we could all agree that we would not want to advertise it through our Explore Minnesota in other states as Minnesota being a haven or a great place to go to get an abortion. These are funds that we allocate to do things like promote our resort areas and fishing and other things, and I would hope that we could agree that we should make sure that some guidelines are put forward so that we do not have those sorts of advertisements happening in other states.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Chair Cleavorn.
Thank you, Chair Hewitt. Abortion is health care. I ask for a no vote on the A4.
Mr. Chair, I would request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Would you also like to speak again? It looks like
I have some other members I think that would like to talk first.
Sure. Who do we have? It looks like Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, from the Economic Development Committee, there is important but limited resources that are allocated to that committee to help create a resilient and stable economy in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a large ask. I think it was, well, actually Representative Hansen had his bill that we were kind of working on, haven't seen it back, but to create grants across the state through the Explore Minnesota Tourism. What this amendment simply does is says those funds should be used to promote other economic activity in this state. That's all this amendment does, and says we should stick to the traditional use of that board. And if you think it's appropriate for Explore Minnesota to be touting healthcare services like abortion simply because it's a political issue, this amendment says we should basically stick to the economic incentives that this board was created for. It was not created to promote abortion services. And so I appreciate the amendment, I appreciate the roll call, and I think Minnesotans would expect the dollars in Explore Minnesota to be used for promotion of other tourism type of activities, not abortion services.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I on this one too, I agree. You know, we go through and we put scopes in, we just put a thing to change on the legislative debate day to the week, and we talked about how we got to get scopes of things handled when we're dealing with money and advertising. And this amendment here is to put a scope in there what they can't use the money for. We want to use it for promoting and getting people into Minnesota. But one of these, health care is something we shouldn't be, because we all have hospitals, we all have health care, but we don't need to promote things like this. We need to focus on why people should come to Minnesota as a tour. So I think this is a good amendment.
Thank you, Representative Joy. Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Chair Hewitt, and thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I just want to be really upfront and honest about this particular provision. Women are not going to an Explore Minnesota magazine to determine where to get their reproductive health care. They're just not. I mean, if you need reproductive health care, you have a whole lot of other things on your mind than reading Explore Minnesota manuals. So with that, I would respectfully request that we just vote no.
Thank you, and I appreciate the comments of the committee member. It's not about a magazine that gets distributed around the state. There are other campaigns, TV, multimedia, but also there's grants that the state gives to Explore Minnesota, to other localities and chambers of commerces, tourism boards. What this amendment does is that those funds won't be used for that. They will use for the intended purposes of their local economies.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Minnesota is a heavy tourism state. We have lakes, we have resorts, we have ski hills, we have all kinds of great shopping in different places. That's what the mission of Explore Minnesota should be. I would say that the argument is an easy one to make, that the tax dollars that are collected from Minnesotans around the state come from people who would have some problems with advertising abortion in other states. It is not an unreasonable request to say that their tax dollars that might be from somebody in a resort area or around a lake should not go to promote abortion services over the top of promoting these resorts and other things that someone could come to Minnesota to do. I think that this is a very straightforward amendment. I think that this is something that even people who are pro-abortion should be able to say, you know what, we don't need to advertise abortion in other states through potential radio or TV or internet campaigns. So I think that you might want to think carefully about how you're going to vote on this bill, on this amendment. So with that, I renew my request to adopt the A4, and I have requested a roll call.
I go to the roll.
Please vote now.
Mr. Westman, please take the roll.
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr.
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy.
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Koznick.
Aye.
Representative Koznick, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, the nays are 7.
The ayes are, one excuse. The ayes are 5, the nays are 7. The amendment does not prevail. The A5, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just preemptively move the A5 with a request for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. you want to explain the A5?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is essentially the same type of paradigm, but rather than have it be for abortion services, it would be for trans. We're going to be taking up the bill today, but it would be, if that were to become law, that it would be for receiving gender reassignment services in the state of Minnesota. Once again, regardless of how you feel about this in the state of Minnesota, I think that it is not an unreasonable request for the people of Minnesota to not see their tourism dollars go to promote these things. Once again, tourism is designed to promote things like fishing and skiing and cross-country skiing and snowshoeing and shopping in a certain place. These are not tourism efforts, but what we have seen in recent years is certain people will be hired to promote the state of Minnesota, and then they bring a political bent to things later on. So I would again request adoption of the A5 and renew my request for a roll call, and I'm encouraging conversation.
Thank you, Representative Nash. I have a question for you, though, on this A1. And I get that we're talking about these subject areas, but much of my adult life has been spent bringing people to Minnesota for their health care. As we know, Rochester is a destination health care facility. We also know that our hospitals in Duluth, our hospitals in St. Cloud, in our metropolitan hospitals, bring in people from all over the world. In fact, I've traveled all over the world to bring patients here. We have great health care. How does that look into your vision? I mean, should that be kept on the outside of any kind of tourism? I mean, I think we're walking a fine line because it's one of our commerce areas, too. So could you help
me? Well, Mr. Chair, I would point out that you said regarding the A1, this is the A5.
No, I'm sorry, the A5.
And that, once again, according to Representative Bonner, apparently she doesn't feel that we need to be advertising these sorts of things. I'm just putting up some guardrails around the fact that we shouldn't be promoting this specific thing, because in addition to that, you know, this is a political hot button, and if you don't feel that, then you are naive. So I do believe that this is something that we want to not invest in from our Explorer Minnesota tourism dollars, and I will stick with that.
Chair Cleburne.
Thank you, Chair Hewitt. I don't see health care as a political hot buttons, members. This is about health care, and I'm just going to ask for a no vote. Thank you. And if we'll move to the
vote. Representative Kosner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What the amendment does, I appreciate Representative Nash bringing this, and the previous amendment is to keep the economic development investments in this state for the purposes of, as it says, explore Minnesota and the different communities and that we have. Your comments about you know, Mayo being an attraction for their overall healthcare purposes, they can advertise for their whatever services that they provide, but they shouldn't be using local tourism board dollars that aren't meant for that purpose. And what this amendment does is says that if you are voting against this amendment, you're saying that yes, Explore Minnesota Tourism should be for gender reassignment services and advertising of that. And so I will be supporting the amendment because Explore Minnesota tourism dollars, economic development dollars are limited. Tourism boards across the state apply for these and don't always get grants to help improve their local economies. And we need to protect those dollars. And so thank you for the amendment. I will be voting for the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick. Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out that there is nothing in writing or anything that's hard and fast at the moment that said Minnesota's going to have an advertising campaign for either abortion services or gender-affirming care. The only side of the table that is making this a political hot button is the authors of these amendments. The Explore Minnesota is going to do just that, everything that they've been doing for as long as they've been advertising what our state has to offer. Until there is a legitimate advertising campaign on either of the subjects of either of these amendments, that's the time to have the conversation, not to get out in front of it, to politicize it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Berg.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Berg, we do things here all the time proactively. We do it all the time. We are ahead of things in every committee, every year that I have been here. We do things proactively to prevent things from becoming like this. So just because you don't think that there's something going on now, and you just said that you wanted to wait until there was a campaign, that's not the time to do it. The time is to put up guardrails now. So with that, I renew my motion to adopt the A5 with the roll call.
Thank you, Representative Nash. I think we're moving to the roll. Mr. Westerman, if you could take the roll, please.
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr.
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy.
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Representative Kosnick, aye. Representative Nadeau. Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, the nays are 7, with 1 excused.
The ayes are 5, the ayes are 7, with 1 excused. The amendment does not prevail. Representative Nadeau, I believe you have the A6, and I have to apologize because I've been saying your name wrong. I went to rookie school with somebody with the spelling, and it was not that way. So thank you.
No harm, Mr. Chair. Thank you. The A6 is the A6 basically addresses House File 1800. It's Representative Newton's bill that basically says that if the Senate doesn't reject an appointment within 60 legislative days, then that appointment is automatically accepted by the Senate. I have a problem with this bill. Oh, I'm going to move this amendment first, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. Thank you. And we had a little discussion when it came before us, and I thought it was a good discussion, and I have had some time to think about it. You know, my fear with the language is that it gives, if a minority Senate wants to really raise havoc with a governor and his appointment process, I mean, every 45 days they could reject, you know, every appointment. And there's hundreds of appointments. I mean, we just talked about the Destination Medical Center. There's 3 appointments that are pending right now for the last 2 years. And do I think that the Senate should act and should do it more proactively? Absolutely. They should do their job. I wish they would. I think that the language that's currently in this bill creates an opportunity for more politics to be played, not less. And it's not that I don't trust the Senate to do their work or not do their work. I am worried about the way that this is, and I think sometimes the Senate doesn't confirm just because they don't necessarily love the appointments. And and to save embarrassment, they just let those people function without having those appointments. And I don't think that creates, I don't think it creates problems. I don't think it reduces confusion. There's currently people on the PUC that haven't been confirmed for 2 years. The PUC is functioning. Do we wish that they had their confirmations? Sure. But I don't think that it actually is going to move the needle. And I think it creates the opportunity for more games to be played. And Mr. Chair, I don't like games in politics. I really don't. I want people to actually work and try to do their thing and try to find those areas where they can find agreement and move on. With that being said, I'm going to, so what I did in this, and I mentioned before that I think sometimes the Senate doesn't confirm just to reduce, just so that people don't get embarrassed. And so we all know that the way the law is written currently is that these are temporary appointments until the Senate confirms them. And my amendment literally just puts that in statute. This is truly a temporary appointment. It is a temporary appointment. There is 60 days that the Senate has to confirm, and if they don't get confirmed within those 60 days, then they are automatically not confirmed and they are done. So it just flips it upside down. It gives the Senate 60 days to, if they don't confirm, then they've rejected those appointments. So it forces the hand of the Senate to do their work. I think it does it in a way that puts everyone on an even playing field where they can't, you know, play the embarrassment game. And so I've moved it. I would call for a roll call on the A6.
Thank you, Representative Nadeau. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nadeau. I cannot believe that you would be asking us as a committee to give the Senate a pocket veto. That's what that would do. It gives them a pocket veto. When they, Senate embarrassment is not in the transparency or public interest. When we are elected, we agree to come in. And I say this to people all the time. We have green and we have red. There is no gray button. When you take these positions, and that's why I never mind a roll call, we are clearly communicating to the public whether we believe an appointment is good or not. So if you're not willing to stand up and say an appointment is bad and I am not going to support it for these reasons, then that individual deserves to be confirmed. I support the language that Representative Newton has provided in the bill, and I ask for your no vote, members.
Representative Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Noe, this is not 60 days, it's 60 legislative days, which essentially is a full legislative session. So in some cases it is longer, it'll extend into the next year. This is the same amendment that I believe Representative Nash brought forward before and we defeated, so I would ask that we defeat it again. Thank you.
Representative Nadeau.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Cleburne, it's not that I'm giving the Senate a pocket veto. I disagree with the language in itself. You know, it's not a pocket veto. I mean, the language as it's in this bill is basically saying it's an automatic appointment unless there's action taken. So pocket veto versus just, you know, whatever. I think that, you know, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make the Senate to act, which is what I think Representative Newton's doing, except I'm trying to make them act in the affirmative rather than just allowing appointments to go on just as long as they're not there within 60 days. And honestly, I think sometimes we need more than 60 days. I mean, I think that that commissioners, that appointees need more than 60 days to build those relationships and actually move forward. So thank you. I would hope people would vote aye on my amendment, but thank you.
Moving to the vote, Mr. Westman, if you could take the roll.
Chair Cleburne.
No.
Chair Cleburne, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr.
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy.
Yes.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Koznick.
Aye.
Representative Koznick, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 5, the nays are 7, with one excused.
With the ayes being 5 and the nays are 7, one excused, the amendment does not prevail. Lead Nash, I believe you have the A7.
Mr. Chair, and if we were to take up the A8 first, I think we might have a better outcome. It is something that we've talked about and have achieved compromise, I believe, with minutes, so I would direct that towards the chair.
Representative Lee Nash, I believe that can be accomplished. Let's take up the A8 first.
Okay. I would move the A8 for adoption. And we'll hold off on a roll call for now. Maybe we've achieved okay. Something. But this is sort of a variation on the bill that I had presented. It, after consultation with Minute, they had some concerns with the
the A7's language and the Subdivision 3 language of the bill for the software licensing contracts. But the A8 was a compromise piece. I spoke to Deputy Commissioner Eichten on the phone yesterday, and we sketched through this, and I want to say thank you to Mr. Gehring for quickly drafting this to get it done. I believe we do have compromise on this, and I believe that Commissioner or Deputy Commissioner Eichten can speak to it, but this is effectively reporting. We are pursuing a transparency with Minit on reporting for cloud computing. I believe the Deputy Commissioner is here and will come and testify to what I just said.
Chair Cleborn?
When I left last night, I was not of the understanding that there was an agreement, so I would ask Deputy Commissioner Eichten to come forward, please.
Deputy Commissioner Eichten, if you could state your name and title for the record and continue with your testimony.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. John Eichten, Minnesota IT Services Deputy Commissioner. I did want to confirm we are supportive of the A8 amendment before us here. I do want to flag, I wouldn't say drafting issues, but just a couple technical issues that we might want to work on moving forward just in terms of the cloud computing migration language. It's tied to a report that is only provided on multi-agency change items, which are pretty rare. I think the intent is more broad than that, so just want to work on a couple of technical tweaks along those lines. But other than that, we support the direction and the intent, and happy to work with the author and the chair to get this to the firmed up.
Chair Cleborn?
I would just ask Lee Nash if he's willing to continue to work on the language.
Lee Nash?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Chair Cleborn, the Deputy Commissioner did say that he supports this, and I think that if we engross this into the bill, we can come up with an amendment for the floor when it gets there. I would like to put it into the bill today. I want to make sure that the minor changes that are syntactical, and the Deputy Commissioner is nodding his affirmation that they are syntactical, that we can clean them up and get them ready for the floor with a small amendment to the bill as amended with this amendment.
Representative Chair Cleborn.
Lead Nash, I am not going to put anything in this bill unless we have consent going forward. If you will I need you to say to me that you will continue to work on this language and that it will be correct before the bill goes to the floor.
Representative Nash.
Madam Chair, members, I worked with Mr. Eichten on this bill, on this amendment. He is sitting next to you saying that they support this and that there is a syntactical correction that needs to be made. It is minor. We could probably do it right now.
Chair Cleborn?
I'm getting consent from Deputy Commissioner Eichten that he can work with us. So we will, is that the confirmation?
Yes, Madam, Mr. Chair and Representative, I can either go back and try and come back with some oral amendment language, or I'm happy to work with the author between now and the floor session, or even at a later stage if this is going to conference to help get it in the shape that I believe he intends. We can work with the language as it is. I don't think the author will get the report he's looking for, though we could, we would be happy to offer a voluntary report that's not mandated in statute to get him the additional scope that I believe he's looking for. We had an agreement, a verbal agreement. Once you see it drafted and you see what the new reporting is tied to, and we know that that report is rarely produced because there's very rarely a multi-agency change item. It's just where it got tied to. And so I think it could go into the bill just fine as is and stay as is, and we would simply produce a report that aligns to what we understand to be the author's intent. And we wouldn't even need a floor amendment then.
Representative Nash?
Well, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the Deputy Commissioner's direction. I'm happy to continue working to make sure that this, if we want to make a floor amendment to the language that gets engrossed right now, we can tighten it up. But again, I do believe that this is something that should go into the bill. We can bring a floor amendment. I'm sure the author is going to bring floor amendments of her own to her own bill. So we can do that. We can then tighten it up, as the deputy commissioner has said. I can work with he and Mr. Gehring to make the syntactical changes, but would like for have this go into the bill right now.
Representative Cleburne.
With Mr. Eichten saying that he can work with it, members, I would say yes. Please vote yes.
We're going to move to the vote. All those in favor of the amendment going on, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. The amendment is on the bill. Representative Lee Nash, back to your A7.
I will withdraw.
Lee, the A7 has been withdrawn. Madam Chair, we are through the amendments. The bill is in the order you want it in now. I believe we're at the testifiers. Would you like me to call them up?
Since I don't know who they are, please.
Wonderful. So our first testifier is Stacy Christensen. And is Fire Marshal Bryce in the room? Ah, there you are. I can't see you. You're on deck, sir. Please state your name for the record, title, and continue with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Stacy Christensen. I'm Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Administration. I just wanted to thank you for including many of admin's policy provisions in the omnibus policy bill. As you know, admin has a wide-ranging set of responsibilities that ultimately touch every part of state government. We work primarily behind the scenes to provide business functions that are the administrative backbone for public agencies. These functions include managing construction projects, providing resources for data practices compliance, overseeing state procurement, and assisting with energy efficiency improvements. The changes included will clean up the statutes to provide greater clarity, address ambiguities in state law, and correct obsolete statutes. These changes include simplifying the management of some construction projects by modernizing the work of the State Designer Selection Board, affirming admin's efforts to assist agencies in improving their energy efficiency and reducing associated operational costs, clarifications to the eligible uses of asset preservation and capital asset preservation and replacement account, or CAPRA, funds, general cleanup of our statutes related to the transfer of responsibilities formerly housed at other entities. These changes will keep admin statutes streamlined and current while ensuring adequate oversight of the agency's work. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. And Fire Marshal Bryce, if you can come down. Could state your name and title for the record, sir.
Mr. Chair, my name is Tom Brace. I'm the former Minnesota State Fire Marshal from 1987 to 2003, and prior to that I was the Washington State Fire Marshal for approximately 10 years. Speak first this morning on the reporting requirement for cities to the State Fire Marshal. Is critical to inform the state as to the number of unsprinklered high-rise buildings. Great effort has been made by the League of Cities, the State Fire Marshal, and the National Fire Sprinkler Association to survey the need, but there remain some unanswered questions. The Multi-Housing Association supplied this and has been heard in both housing and public safety with no opposition. We thank you for inclusion of this reporting requirement.
Thank you, Fire Marshal Bryce, and thank you for dedicating your retirement to this subject, as I said in public safety the other morning.
Yes, sir.
Are there any other, this is a public hearing, are there any other testifiers that would like to speak on this bill?
Yes.
Seeing none, we're going to flip to member discussion.
There is one other piece that Fire Marshal Bryce would like to talk about.
Sorry. Thank you, Fire Cleburne.
Thank you.
Fire Marshal Bryce.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to put another hat on quickly. I am the chair of the Bill and Bonnie Daniels Firefighters Hall and Museum. It is located in Minneapolis, and it was created by a trust from a fire captain and his wife, Bill and Bonnie Daniels, or Wilton Daniels. Before you on House File 194 is hopefully a simple decision. We would respectfully like to request the state designate the Fire Museum as the official Minnesota State Fire Museum. And the reason to do that is that we want to send a message to the general public throughout the state of Minnesota that this is a fire museum for all of Minnesota, and also a special note to fire departments throughout Minnesota that this is a place that they can honor their proud traditions. So we're asking for an official designation of the Bill and Bonnie Daniels as the state fire museum.
Thank you, Fire Marshal Bryce, and I ask for your pardon as I guess I should have just waited to see what you wanted to say there. And I, too, am a great supporter of this, being a former volunteer firefighter. I know that our story needs to be told, and we have a real interesting one. So thank you for your testimony. Madam Chair, do you have anything else to add?
We have included it in the DE, so I'm excited to be able to honor our firefighters this way. Thank you.
If you have time, members, I wish you would take some time and go over to Minneapolis and see this fire museum. It's quite the spectacle. So, again, this is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to testify? Seeing none, we're going to move to member discussion on the bill. Do we have a list yet? Oh, nobody's on the list. This is good. Oh, sorry. Representative Nadeau.
I'll always take the opportunity to say thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Cleburne, thank you for working hard to put this bill together. And I appreciate you doing your best to accommodate all the requests that were made. And specifically, I want to thank you for the putting in the construction at risk for Hennepin County, and then also for eliminating moving away from the MBC age-old agreement to more of an updated agreement with a JPA for the city of Minneapolis and Hennepin County. So thank you for that.
And the JPA? I'm just trying to get people to.
Chair Cleburne?
Joint Powers Agreement.
Oh. Thank you.
Chair Cleburne, any comments on that?
No, members, it's a really good bill. We've done a lot of important work this year together. We've had lots of great conversations. I'd like to thank Lead Nash for being my partner in this work in the policy bill. We've had a good working relationship, and I ask for a yes vote on 1826 as amended, and I would renew my motion that it go to the General Register.
Representative Lead Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will say that the Chair and I have a good working relationship. We've tried to keep the trains moving on time. You know, there are things in this bill that I think are worth supporting, but there are things in here that are things that didn't make it in here, and for that reason, I will not be supporting the bill, and I'm going to ask for a roll call as it leaves committee.
A roll call has been requested. Is there any other discussion to the bill? Mr. Westerman, please take the roll call on the bill.
Chair Cleburne.
Aye. Excuse me, just 1 minute. I would like to just take a recess for a minute, if that would be all right with you.
Under
roll call. I'm sorry.
Oh, yep, sorry. We're under roll call.
All right. And I'll ask that the roll be held open for a moment while we have members in other committees to come in and vote.
We can hold the roll open as long as we want, I believe. That's the rule. That doesn't matter. We're back. Continue with the roll.
Chair Cleburne.
Aye.
Chair Cleburne. Aye. Vice Chair Hewitt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hewitt. Aye. Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Nash. No. Representative Berg.
Yes.
Representative Berg. Aye. Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Freiberg. Aye. Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Hansen. Aye. Representative Harder.
No.
Representative Harder. No. Representative Herr.
Aye.
Representative Herr. Aye. Representative Joy.
No.
Representative Joy, no. Representative Koznick,
no.
Representative Koznick, no. Representative Nadeau,
yes.
Representative Nadeau, yes. Representative Newton, Representative Newton,
aye.
Representative Newton, aye. The ayes are 8, the nays are 4, with 1 excused.
The ayes are 8, nays are 4, 1 excused. The bill is on its way to Ways and Means. Oh,
to
sorry,
the
to the General Register.
Thank you.
I correct myself. The bill's on its way to General Register. We will be in recess till the call of the chair, 6 p.m. or 30 minutes after floor session. We are in recess.